Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Jordan, I'm going to be frank with you because it's the only... We've been friends for a long time. I don't want to lie to you or deceive you.
That's one of the deadly sins, right?
Yeah. I mean...
As dictated to us by Christ, the Lord.
Can I just say one thing about that, Jordan? Thank God, man upstairs,
yep,
that you are not my neighbor, because all I do is covet your wife. Just all I do is covet your wife, Jordan, all day and night.
At least you're not lying anymore. At least you're not about to, you know, spoon feed me some of... you know, the devil's pudding. That's what I call lies.
Yeah, sure.
Lies are nothing but Satan's pudding, mother would always say.
Lies truly are a lumpy pudding. Not right. In a nice way, like a rice pudding, but like a pudding that's gone off.
Right, yeah. It has a weird film on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to say is this.
But we'll work on the coveting later.
I'm pretty fucked up right now. I'm a fucking disaster area. I was watching the television show Shark Week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Shark Week is a variety of shows. It's not one program. It is a week dedicated to, you know, various shark programs. You know, which ones can swim faster than Michael Phelps?
Yeah.
Tara Reid is involved.
Shark Tank,
yeah,
is a show where people who have a hard time moving their faces make a person with an invention cry.
Right. I definitely had a little Shark Tank phase not too long ago, where, and this is like height of pandemic, you know, you just doing whatever you need to do to get comfort. So I would put on a Shark Tank and I would play. I would put the Shark Tank on the TV and I would play Nintendo Switch and kind of like switch my focus. And for some reason, that did it for me.
Great.
Couldn't tell you why. I am not interested in starting a business, nor do I think the rich are cool.
No.
So
they seem awful.
I cannot.
This is the first time I'd ever seen the show. I was like, gosh, these people seem horrible.
I couldn't tell you. I think I like Robert okay. There's one shark that I think is pretty nice. His name is Robert. Oh, and I like Lori, the queen of QVC. I think she has some fun moments. And I do like it when they're like real mean to a tech bro. I think that is fun. Like someone who wants to disrupt something with an app, sometimes they'll like fuck with them. It's not as fun when it's just like, oh, this woman invented a bath bomb and has six kids. Like, that's not as much fun, but like really giving it to like a Soylent type guy, that's a lot of fun. Anyway,
you know what?
Sorry.
You know what? I wouldn't mind being disrupted with an app.
Hmm.
Drink service. Like if they brought the, you know, the crab dip.
Right.
While the drink service was also going out, it'd be fine with me. I could wait for my drink for a minute if I got.
Oh, you're doing an app appetizer thing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So. I'm nothing if not cool, Jordan.
Cool, man.
Anyone who's heard this show
That's
knows
true.
That.
App is short for appetizer. Cool, man.
So
I thought you were going to have like an instead of asking the waiter for like a refill, it would just you would poke it. The app would be called like, "Can I get another iced tea?"
Yeah. I was watching this show.
Yeah,
my child got interested in it. Mm-hmm. So on CNBC. On the CNBC network, which is a business network, they have a lot of advertisements for old white men that to benefit old things of interest to old white men.
So what are we talking? Catheters? We're talking hair loss solutions?
I'm glad you mentioned catheters.
Yeah.
The thing that fucked me up, and I haven't been able to deal with it emotionally, I haven't been able to work through it, I'm thinking about whether I need to do trauma-informed therapy. It was a drug advertisement. I believe it was a drug for diabetes. And this You know, there's a part where a different announcer comes on and says the side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the side effects that this woman, who had a beautiful, sonorous voice, said was a rare but deadly infection of the perineum, which is the taint.
Mm-hmm.
And now all I can think about is...
Colloquially known as the taint. They didn't say that in the commercial, right? You're just...
No, they did. And then they explained,
oh, right,
for it tainted the balls and right, it tainted, yes, the butthole.
Mm-hmm.
And
known as the gooch in some regions.
Sure.
I thought I called it chode for a while. Although yeah, that was a whole thing. That was a couple years ago.
That was a few years ago on the show. So, I don't know. It's not...
So you're preoccupied with the thought of what if you get one of these rare and deadly taint infections?
I am basically like Aaron Rodgers is worried about his heart exploding or whatever.
Right.
I'm now off all medication. I'll never take medication again in case of deadly taint infection.
Right.
I'm not even going to leave the fucking house, Jordan.
Yeah.
A deadly taint infection?
I mean, that's a king's death, though. What a way to go. I'm hoping for taint infection or like killed on a water slide. Either of those I'm fine with.
What?
Where people kind of like have to stifle laughter at my funeral. I think that's great.
If you died on the water slide, would you bleed out or break your neck?
Oh, I think I would get like caught.
Like a chicken.
I would get caught and like be face down or something, and just like drown,
so you would drown?
In a little bit of water park water. Yeah.
So you would be able to escape drowning in a wow.
Yeah.
They anyway. Don't got sharks in there.
No, you're thinking of Shark Tank on CNBC.
Thanks,
that's
Jordan.
Where the sharks are.
Our guest on the program is a stand-up comic. She's a comedy writer and now a comedy actor. I mean, she was always a comedy actor, but now probably it's moved to the top of the resume because she's on a big deal television program called The Sex Lives of College Girls, created by someone named Mindy Kaling. I don't know who this person is, but people seem to like this person. Sarah Cottow, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
It's nice to have you back on the program. We appreciate seeing you here. I'm sorry that I've upset you permanently by
from the rare and deadly taint infection news.
How rare could it be for it not to be the number one issue in America right now?
Right. You think
like sure. Presidential elections. Yeah. Like, why are people talking about
critical
CRT?
Race theory?
And sure. Not talking
critical
about...
taint theory.
Yeah.
CTT. CTT. Sierra, do you watch Shark Tank or any other kind of like comparable reality show? Do you have any other like a background reality show that you watch?
Sure, you bet. I mean, I did watch a lot of Shark Tank. I mean, I've seen lots of tears on that show.
Yeah,
I think it's always very heartbreaking, but I would say I haven't probably seen as many of the people we want to see cry. I see a lot of small, you know, small business types cry, and that is sad. But I enjoy seeing. I have seen one guy panic, like I think it was like a stackable Tupperware guy, and he was kind of like the tech bro of stackable Tupperware. Uh-huh. If that makes sense. And he
right.
Just
he's disrupting Tupperware.
Yeah, he was really. Yeah, this man is disrupting stackable containers. And
I mean,
you know,
to be fair, they're perfect for apps.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. There is an app for that. You know,
yeah. You have a couple extra Southwest egg rolls you want to have tomorrow.
I mean, yes, this guy had. Yeah, he had almost everyone in, and then he like wouldn't make a decision, and they all slowly backed out. It was shocking.
The thing that upset me about the show, and again, I've seen it a time,
mm-hmm.
but I know its reputation as well, is that the lesson of the show seems to be we need to be better for the rich, not there should be broader access to capital.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think at its core, you could tell what is wrong with our failing society.
Right. It's just, yeah, it's a show advertising things that they are already going to own. Like, it's, yeah, it's just capitalism layered in many ways.
Yeah, there was a part on the one that I watched where a young woman was just fresh out of NYU, and she had invented a date paste. Not a paste for dating.
Right.
But a paste of dates.
Like as like a, something you would have instead of like peanut butter or something like that.
Well, it's lower calorie than nut butters.
Okay.
And it's a miracle food. One of the guys, this guy with this weird collar on his shirt.
Sounds like you're drinking the date Kool-Aid, Jesse. Jeez.
I'd love a date Kool-Aid. That sounds nice. I usually have fruit punch, but... So... You ever been to date country, by the way? This is a, we're just, I know I'm just getting into dates here. Get it back into what happened on this television show. But you know how if you go out to the dinosaurs from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there's just a place where all the restaurants only serve date-based foods?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all. Just if anybody's in Southern California, it's just something to check out. It's like watching the leaves change in Vermont.
Regional trend is, places that advertise the date shake.
Yeah, only date shakes. So anyway, this woman was selling date products. She was fresh out of NYU. And someone asked her rather pointedly if she only had $100,000 in sales, how is she living in New York?
Mm.
And she said, well, she rather sheepishly said, well, my father's helping me. And then this woman made her cry because she wasn't desperate enough, wanted her to be more desperate.
Right.
And the woman who made her cry couldn't move her face above her lip line. Mm-hmm. Below her lip line moved. Above her lip line didn't. And I thought, I don't think I want advice on how I should be more poor from this person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think so. Shark Tank once in a while will do like a theme week. You know, they did like kids.
Shark Week.
Shark Tank will do a week. And then all ideas by sharks, the fish.
Yeah.
It's a special laxative in case you swallow a barrel of nails.
A whole barrel, huh?
Yeah. Isn't that classic when they cut open the shark?
There's a barrel of nails?
I've heard barrel of nails. License plate, obviously, is a classic.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
A grouper, maybe. It's a type of fish.
I think they should do Dick Week.
Yeah.
Where we agree upon...
By the way, welcome to Dick Week on Jordan Jesse Go.
Honored to be here.
Jordan Jesse Go, where every week is Dick Week.
Dick Week. Not to be confused with Taint Week.
No.
That's every other week.
Right. And we're just bringing awareness to CTT.
Yeah.
we all have a brown ribbon that we wear. The color of shit where the taint is near. So Shark Tank, they should have Dick Week where they agree we have a metric on what is a dick. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, is it like, you know, just like a guy who still has the Macklemore haircut or whatever. Right. Like we find various...
Someone who's interested in business.
Sure, yeah.
Who thinks they should be there.
Right, yes.
Someone who walks into a room and feels they belong.
Right.
Is that what you're saying, Sierra?
Sure, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's a good cutoff.
Right. Yeah.
And then we can just enjoy the like... Schadenfreude of it all and not feel bad that, you know, a guy put his life savings into some sort of like T-ball helper, you know?
Yeah. Like something that helps T-ball players?
Yeah. Like some sort of like, I feel like that's a big category on that. It's like a dad who like quits to like have some sort of kids sporting device, like some sort of like, you know, soccer tent or something. I don't know.
Yeah. There was a woman who was mad at a motocross guy because he didn't know how to scale his dirt cleanser. Right. It's a dirt that you use to cleanse.
Scaling's important.
I know. You don't have to tell me. I got some scaling on my taint right now that I'm very concerned about.
Sierra, on your new TV show, it has college in the title. Do you play a college student?
Oh, you bet I do. Yes, I am. Me and many of the, I would say most of us are, yeah, not college age, playing college age,
right,
as many do in television. But there are some younger, you know, younger people, I would say, who are probably more in their like early, you know, early 20s or 20,
right,
playing 18.
And you're buying them beer, right?
Yeah, I'm like, come on, kids. Just say the word. I'll go to the 7-Eleven. But yes, it is. It's mostly, you know, us in our later 20s playing. I don't know. I think I'm an upperclassman, supposedly.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, so
you know.
Right. Yeah.
If you're close a junior.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a junior.
You're some kind of junior or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, kids, I get it.
The college you go to in the show, is it similar or dissimilar to the actual college that you went to?
Oh, yes. So what's really fun about the show and the character I play is very much who I was in college in some ways. I mean, exaggerated, but the college is fictional in the show. It's called Essex College. Because sex. Sex,
oh, yeah, sure.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Got him.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
So Essex College, but it's, I think, based on, so Mindy Kaling went to like Dartmouth. Justin Noble, the other creator, went to Yale. So I feel like it's kind of based on these sort of Northeastern.
Right.
Ivy League schools. I did go to Harvard, so I did kind of live through that.
We know. You don't have to explain it, Sierra. We get it. We went to UC Santa Cruz.
Yes, there you go. The same
the
idea.
Harvard of Central California.
Except for CSU Monterey Bay.
Right. Ooh. And Stanford. I guess.
True. So yes, it is, you know, we all get it. But yeah, it is like makes fun of the pretentiousness, I think, of those and like all that. And I play a very preppy girl.
Is it an actually pretentious context? I don't know anything. I don't know anything about Northeastern universities other than my wife went to Sarah Lawrence College. I think that's a sui generis situation. They, you know, admissions are based on specific subtypes of lesbianism at Sarah Lawrence. So that, I don't think it applies to other, you know, I don't think you can extend that to Amherst.
Oh,
or
okay.
Whatever.
I see. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's sort of the vibe?
Well, what did you expect and what did it end up being like?
Totally. I think, yeah, I expected. So I'm from outside of LA, basically kind of California my whole life. Didn't really know what to expect other than obviously like it gets colder over there.
Sure.
Crazy how that is.
You need a coat. Right.
Yeah. I need a coat that's not made here.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, but yeah, no, I would say, I mean, I guess it's like the East Coast mentality felt a little stronger there. It was definitely like people being like, oh, I'm from this family or like wanting to share that, you know, like, okay, the Shark Tank right. girl who didn't want to say her dad was paying for New York. Like everyone says, oh, they paying for me. You know, like, I think it's not as much of a hidden thing. I think everybody likes to be like, I came from this family. I do this
for,
thing.
Wait, people say they came from this family? Really?
I mean, in so many words. I think sometimes their last name is already, you know, something.
Arby's.
Kennedy. Yeah, Weinstein. No, I'm just Epstein. No, it's all really.
Reginald Epstein Arby's.
Yes, Arby's. Yeah.
The third.
Yes, not to be confused. Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, it's probably a little bit more. And maybe that's just, you know, the beginning when people are trying to kind of make an impression with people and who knows who they're talking to, right? But
what was your cultural cohort at in university? You were what? You were into fish, right? PH fish.
Oh yes, right. My club, fish club. No, mm-hmm. We were basically, I don't know, I mean, I guess I did stand up in college. I was very interested in comedy. I also studied computer science, but I was probably more into like the comedy scene. So I had a lot of friends who were doing stand up. I had a lot of friends who were interested in improv, stuff like that. And then
yeah, I was curious. I was also wanting to kind of ask that is like, did Harvard have a comedy scene?
Yeah, it did. Well, okay, a couple things. Boston's right there, so there was like a bunch of comedy clubs. The comedy studio is in Harvard Square, and I think it moved to Somerville, but it's like, you know, it was a place that I could get up pretty easily near campus. And then we had a little stand-up club, Harvard Stand-Up Comic Society, shout out. And then, I mean, the Lampoon was the main, probably historically relevant thing. So,
right. Oh, right.
There were a few people writing for The Simpsons.
Sure. Yeah. Some people, I mean, we had a lot of kids of Simpson writers. Yeah. A lot of people who were interested in that. So I was a part of the Lampoon and I was a part of, you know, like, it's mainly a social club, I would say, but like we put out a magazine that we read at least. So
You did stand up even before you went to college, right?
I did. Yeah. I did some in high school. So I was kind of, you know, I knew I wanted to do that and it was kind of like, well, if I could be near Boston, that would be great. But, yeah, and there's stuff on campus. I opened for the Wushu Club sometimes, the sword team. You know, sometimes
did
they
you
wanted
have
a warm
any
up
Wushu
comic.
Material?
No, I think I tried to maybe. You know, it's hard because sometimes, you know, if I was following Wushu Club, maybe I could comment on it. But opening for Wushu Club, I don't want to step on their territory. You know.
Yeah.
When I was in middle school, we had a Tai Chi class, and. You know, I mean, it was about as interesting as you would think a Tai Chi class for middle schoolers would be to middle schoolers. You know, we were not, but our teacher was a very nice man and he'd teach us our Tai Chi forms and everything. And I can still, you know, if you need me to hold the tea bag, I can hold the tea bag. But one day, I don't know, it feels like a gym day where you're in the basement because it's raining. But obviously that's, you already do Tai Chi in the basement. So I don't know why it was a special day. He was like, you know, when I'm not teaching Tai Chi to middle schoolers in Hillsboro, I mostly run a Wushu studio, and he brought in a VHS tape of his Wushu studio. And it was so fucking bananas. I've been mad ever since that he was teaching us Tai Chi. I'm like, you could have been teaching us how to do backflips holding halberds, and you fucking taught us to hold the teabag, you fucking asshole.
Holding the teabag is really essential to find out if you have CTT, by the way.
Yeah. If that teabag drops, you are screwed.
It's a preventative measure.
I mean, Sierra... As tough as it is to try and do comedy in front of the Wushu Club, just be glad that you didn't have to follow the Wushu Club.
You're right.
That's where you really don't want to be.
Yeah.
Nothing can follow them. I mean, yeah, it's quite a spectacle. And I hope they're still Wushuing to this day.
That would be nice.
It'd be good to know.
They stuck together. They're like, well, we met in college.
And... Travel together. Yeah.
We did the Wushu circuit for a little bit.
Yeah.
There's festivals, you know, you end up having to stay in somebody's three-car garage or whatever.
Right, but it's worth it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's cool. It's fun. You meet other people who are into Wushu.
Sure.
You trade weapons.
Yeah, I feel like I have gotten wind that Santa Cruz maybe has a little comedy scene now. I think when we were in college, like, our improv and stuff was like dining hall based, was like, can we use a dining hall for a night?
I mean, we were in the improv group that Jordan and I were in started my freshman year, and it was the only comedy thing at whole college, I think.
Yeah. And then like in town, like sometimes like Margaret Cho would come and play like the old movie theater or something like that.
Well, there was a restaurant called the Crow's Nest.
Oh right, the Crow's Nest
that had a weekly comedy night with some of the comics from San Jose who weren't working the San Jose Improv that night.
Gotcha.
Yeah, made the trip over the mountain. Or some Monterey comics probably as well.
But I think I feel like I've gotten the impression that maybe Santa Cruz has like. A little comedy scene now.
More than just this stripping improv group?
Oh, yeah. They had the one towny improv group. Their gimmick was that they stripped when they would make a mistake or something else. But I think it was, I think it was very PG-13. I think they were wearing like 9 layers of clothes.
We were both in that for like 2 weeks, right? Or were you in it longer? I feel like I was in it two weeks.
I tried out and didn't get in.
Really?
Yeah. So
I think I was in it for like 2 weeks and then got kicked out.
Yeah, my stripping was great. improv.
Yeah, yeah, as the...
They're like, this guy's too sexy. He's gonna...
yeah, distract.
Yeah, we've got to come up with more games that involve playing Pour Some Sugar on Me really loud.
Right, yeah. Can I have a suggestion for a hair metal band? Ah, I heard Def Leppard.
I heard Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. Got it. Okay, let's
all
go.
Right, yes, these are all... Oh, another scene about Genuine's pony.
It is a bit more provincial than Boston, Massachusetts, our alma mater.
Well, I mean, that all, it sounds like it satisfies all the needs that, I think there's too much comedy, maybe there's too much in other places, so it's good to have just enough.
You know? Place with like, yes, a place with an appropriate amount of comedy.
Right.
Sierra, were you in other clubs? Like, did you do, or is it just the one thing? You're just writing for The Simpsons. It takes up all your time. The end.
Right. Yeah. You know, it did take up probably the most time, the Lampoon. But I did the stand-up club thing. I was probably doing. For a little bit, I might have been in some computer science clubs.
Back when are you doing a computer science club?
Well, what did I do? Well, clearly not enough. I am no longer
doing
that.
Full stack web development.
I did. Yes. Yes. I was in one that they had like a speaker come. So actually Dustin Moskovitz, is that right? The guy, the Facebook dude who did the, you guys know this guy?
It's pronounced Diamond. Dustin Diamond.
R.I.P.
that person, employee number 3 or something at Facebook, he came and talked about, his new startup, which was like a sauna. And I think it might still be what he works on. Anyway, so sometimes it would come like, and, speak to a few people about their life as, entrepreneurs.
Sure.
So we would learn a little bit there. And I guess you'd just be like hanging out with like pillows that were shaped like emojis. It was very like innocent in the building where the classes are held, they had like a little lounge area. So I think I did that for like a semester or two, but I wasn't as active in that in the academics, let's say.
I once got invited to speak at Facebook. This was like when I was a entrepreneur, like a respected in my industry. They invited me to speak. It was very nice of them to invite me to speak. And I was living here in Los Angeles and was the peak of my respectability was close to the nadir of my income. So I was barely getting by and got invited to speak at Facebook. And I sent them an email. I was like, well, yeah, I mean, do you like cover travel and stuff like that? And they're like, well, we thought maybe you could do it. I know you're from the Bay Area. Maybe when you're home to... to visit your family or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well,
like maybe
what?
You can do it. Maybe you can stay with Judy. And then like, this is too familiar for a business email.
then I was like, does it pay? Or like, what is it? Cause I'd have to like take a few days off work to come up to do this, like I have a job and everything. He said, we actually have a policy of not paying speakers. I was like,
oh my God.
You gotta be fucking
policy of. We've talked about, we've discussed this, we've decided no.
we're worried it might bias them.
Yeah. They pay you in minion memes.
Stickers? They have.
We won't give you money, but we will give you disinformation about public health.
It is really amazing just what kind of shit gets put on a picture of a minion. It is it is wild. By the way,
send us our Peabody now because we got to the core of this issue. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yes, cold take. Facebook has a lot of minion shit, but the craziest one that I still think about just when I'm watching Shark Tank and playing Switch is the baseline one is like, oh, it's a minion, and it's like, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee. It's just like, something.
Is
that you
a minion have a coffee cup?
Minions,
or is he mad?
Caffeine.
Can minions be mad?
No. So this one, minions can be mad, I think. I think maybe they're more. I think they're general air is kindly. and helpful, yeah, but like, well, they're sort they're of, goofballs, helpful goofballs.
They're doofs. They're like doofs, right? They run into each other a lot.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Are they ever pregnant like Shrek?
Oh, yeah. I mean, oh? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and guess yes. I'm gonna take a wild guess.
Are they ever pregnant by Shrek?
Again? Oh, you know, that's different because Shrek is DreamWorks.
Okay, thank you.
So he, ooh, yeah. Shrek can't, cannot impregnate.
Can't go into Illumination Shrek, territory.
No, Shrek, yeah, you don't want to run afoul of Illumination.
Yeah, well.
Shrek can only impregnate How to Train Your Dragon or something.
Mm, yeah, yes. Shrek can impregnate the trolls. He can impregnate. what are the other DreamWorks properties? Kung Fu Panda. There you go.
Yeah.
Great.
Inside. So the craziest one I ever saw was a Minion. He's holding like a sign. He's holding like a hitchhiker sign, and it says, "Honk if you suck dick."
So he's the Minion. The Minion is hitchhiking.
What is,
yeah, hold on, Jordan.
Wow, the Minion is sexualizing of these minions.
Yeah, the Minion is hitchhiking. So he's asking for a ride, but he also thinks he's going to get his dick sucked. So, like, but he's paying for the ride by getting his dick sucked?
No, I think it was. I think it's just an informal pull. He was curious kinda about
like, on the street corner, like.
So he is not actually right. hitchhiking.
Allies.
Right. He was just curious about. You know, sexual habits.
Because the other possibility is maybe he's not looking to get his dick sucked. Maybe he's just looking for kinship.
Right.
Like he likes to suck dick and he's looking to ride with somebody sure. else who also likes to suck dick.
Sure.
So they can talk yeah. about what they like about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they feels
common
right.
ground
you know?
To start at and then right. work their way from there
yeah,
into it's like, other topics.
Yeah. It's like catching a ride with somebody who also is into fish, you know?
Yeah.
So at least you have common ground, and mm-hmm. that's how you bridge the gap between the two Americas.
Ugh, beautiful. We need a little bit more you. Of that.
I think so.
Thank you.
If you ask me, we need a Thank little you. Bit more of that.
Yeah.
And a little less CTT. Thank you.
Well said.
Yeah, thank you.
Jordan, how's it going with you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I think I kind of blew it this week.
Thank you for being frank with me. It's what I expect of you.
Yeah. So I went to New York for a wedding. I hadn't been to New York in years.
Jordan, when you say blew it, you're talking about a minion.
No, God, I wish. Stuart, call me. You have my number. I know you're busy.
It's like, I'm sorry, I keep bumping into other minions and falling
right,
down.
Right, and saying banana.
I don't have time to call.
Right. Keep getting blown up by circular bombs. So I was in New York, and, you know, like, obviously, like, I want to do it all, you know? I want to do it all. I want to see it all, you know? I want to take in... You know, everything. I'm gonna squeeze the juice from that big, beautiful Gotham, you know?
Sure.
The
big lemon juice.
Yeah. I wanna go to Gelini's for the Gubalagetza, you know. But
hey, I'm meeting at Gelini's here.
Yeah, give me another spoonful of the Gubalagetza.
Hey. Hey, bring me one of your egg drinks.
Sure. But I ended up not leaving the hotel room. I just stayed in the hotel room and I didn't leave. And I think it was just because I was too afraid of Impractical Jokers.
I know, that is a big problem in New York City.
Yeah, I was too afraid that you know, I'd be in line for a dog or, you know, some chestnuts or something. And the next thing you know, Q and Murr are squeezing my buns. I don't need that.
So you said, it made sense that you were waiting in line for hot nuts.
Yeah.
When you said you were waiting in line for a dog, 100% I thought you were going to get a dog.
Yeah.
You are
in the dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yourself a dog.
Dog shop. Uh-huh.
But there's a line. There's a line for everything in New York.
Yeah, sure.
This is my question about staying in the hotel room the entire time.
Yeah.
The last time I was in a hotel was 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. It was the beginning of the pandemic. And it was the most desperately sad place I've ever been in my life. I mean, just a nightmare of bleak set. It was a nice hotel. You got a good deal on it on Hotwire. Mm. But just desperately, you know, downtown San Francisco, completely empty. Hotel, completely empty. No one working there. No one staying there. And while what I should have done is like gone out in the hallway and used a room service tray as a surfboard and surfed down all the stairs or something.
That'd have been fun.
Instead, what I did was sort of gaze into the middle distance and think about the futility of existence.
Right.
So that was my last hotel experience. But did you find that you were able to recreate the classic hotel experience, which involves watching whatever television show is the most embarrassing that you like, mm-hmm. With impunity, just as much as you want. Watch it over and over and over, because no one's there to know that you like that show. Masturbating a few times and maybe eating Eggs Benedict at some point.
Right. Let's see. I did actually leave the hotel room, and it was a pretty busy trip. But the TV watching I did in the room, this TV was a little more modern. It had like an on-demand section. So I watched like recent Simpsons.
Oh, wow.
Instead of old Simpsons, which is what I usually watch. But I'm like, the on-demand ones are a little more recent.
Oh,
yeah. What was that like? Were they a little off the wall?
Yeah. But I mean, there was, you know, it's funny. So it's the funniest show, you know?
Was it like the... Yeah. Was it like the one where they're in like cyberspace?
Oh yeah, right.
All 3D animated.
Yeah, I think they go. I don't need to just like honestly talk about The Simpsons here. But I think that the stereotype is that it got really crazy. But I think they've kind of reeled. You know, they I think they go back and forth with how crazy they're making it. And I think there are some that are like kind of super earnest and about emotional stuff, like in recent seasons, as opposed to like what if Homer becomes a ninja or something like that. So,
Have they done a wushu plot line? Because I would enjoy that. I feel like Lisa would do the wushu, though.
Totally.
You wouldn't have Homer do it. Have Lisa do it. She's a tryhard.
Sierra, did you have to go somewhere to film this TV show, or did you do it in L.A.?
Right here.
Yeah.
A little bit in Pasadena.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Well,
that's where I live now.
Oh, well.
Thank God Pasadena came up on this show.
Yeah. Pasadena, you say? Well.
Our guest last week, Sierra, was this little old lady. You would love her. Mm-hmm. Nobody mean her.
Little old lady from Pasadena. That's interesting. Excellent. that was like what the Southern California stand-in for the East Coast was. Like, we want to make this an East Coast thing, so like, let's try a Pasadena.
There was, it was like an interior, I think. But yeah, a lot was on the stage in the Warner Brothers studios, I think. Oh, okay. And like, I mean, and then they did do some exteriors out east, but I didn't have to go. So I think
you
it was like,
invited.
I think they went to, I wasn't invited. No. But yes, it was, I think they shot a lot of exteriors at Vassar College.
Mm, that makes sense.
That's one of them.
You were like, indoor kid.
Yeah, my character, agoraphobic.
Sure. Yeah. Cannot leave. Cannot leave the door.
Part of the plot. But yeah.
This is kind of interesting. I've been to, and I don't know if you guys are experiencing this or not, but like a little bit of a wedding deluge just because of all the like postponed weddings. So it's kind of like we're getting, you know, like a year and a half worth of weddings.
Yeah.
And I've been to two. We have a family wedding at the end of the year that I'm going to try and go to.
Everybody in the family.
Yeah, everyone in the family is getting married. It's a cult
May
thing.
May the circle be unbroken.
We're all going to drink some cyanide-laced date Kool-Aid afterwards. I just love going to them. I think they're so much fun. It's nice. It's nice to believe in love. It's nice to have an open bar. But neither of the wedding dance playlists included Don't Stop Believin', and I was happy for that.
Can you dance to Don't Stop Believin'?
No, I think you just kind of like sway around and yell. And you put your arm around.
Oh, yeah. Sway.
You sway. Yeah, it's a sway song.
I'd like to go to a wedding that's only songs that drunk white people like to sing really loud that are not, like, it's just Don't Stop Believin', right, Sweet Caroline. I can't think of any other examples. Do whites know any other songs?
Those are the two.
Jordan, we're white. What do we know?
You know what really, at both of them, I was surprised really killed, and I'm like, oh, this has been kind of folded into, you know, like the pop canon. Party in the USA fucking blew up at both of them.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's a great song. That's sort of what it has going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised at that. Oh,
Sierra, what gets you on the floor at a wedding? What's your rock solid bet? What's your kiss by Prince?
I mean that Party in the USA, that is a good call. I would say, I'm trying to think in something in that area. Well, you know what I do like though, even just like a Frank Sinatra or something, you know, like New York or something. I feel like they play
classic
that at weddings, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm in New York. Because I'm not. But yeah. You know.
You're somewhere else.
Hey, I'm dancing
I'm
here.
Yeah, I'm dancing.
Murs grabbing my buns.
Yeah, just
it's one of the impractical
all papers. the big New York references come to mind. but yeah, I don't know.
Something that I do like about visiting the East Coast is that you will go into a store and the store will be playing Billy Joel.
That is. I think that's something that white people like to sing along to is Billy Joel songs.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like most of them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean the this that song, you know the one I'm talking about where he lists all the things.
Oh, we didn't start the fire.
This, that, and this.
It was only this, except when it was that.
Classic.
That song is the one. It's got a whole part where you just go dip, 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 right?
Yeah.
Is that Bob and Stuart, the Minions? The Minions sing Billy Joel.
What if Billy Joel invented the Minions? Wouldn't that be great?
Ba, ba, boo, banana.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I have $1 million to make. I'll see you assholes later. I got an album to record.
Hello, is this Jib Jab? This is former podcaster Jordan Morris.
Yeah. And then at the end, everybody starts honking because they love to suck dick.
This podcaster turned billionaire Jordan Morris.
Beep, bop, boop, banana. Just crack, let it sink in what a good idea it is.
Jordan, are there any guarantees that, because you go to a lot of weddings. I've been to three weddings, 75% of my friends' weddings. Yeah. You're not married yet, Jordan. As soon as you get married, that'll be 4 out of 4. You know, I've been to Brian's wedding. I've been to Ben Harrison's wedding. There's a few weddings I've been to, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. You travel in much broader social circles than I, and you're known as a fun guy. Yeah. So you get invited to a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. What gets you on the floor for a wedding?
Don't like to dance. Don't want to do it. I want to lean against the bar and take off my jacket and roll up my sleeves and talk to an uncle about what he does. Ooh. Don't want to dance.
Someone's got to do it. Someone has to play that role.
When I was a wedding DJ's assistant, in Washington, D.C., I learned about this thing called beach music, which in Washington, among whites in Washington, D.C. specifically, there is this cultural thing where like people go to, maybe it's Newport News, like there's beaches in the Carolinas and Virginia. I'm out of my territory here, so people are already composing angry letters. But they go to these kind of semi-southeastern beaches, places that are north of Georgia and south of Washington, D.C. This is like where people have where people go on summer vacation, you know, go on spring break, these kinds of things. And then there's all these people who go, there's a subgenre of music that I think probably faded now. But there's a subgenre of music called beach music, which is like faded R&B stars who just play this circuit that's from Washington, D.C. to like northern Georgia and back along the coastline, playing songs that you shag to. Mm. Which is a dance from like 19. It's like if there was an entire subculture built around doing the locomotion.
Sure. Yeah. Walking the dinosaur.
Yeah. Like it is really. And what would happen is you'd be playing like, or, you know, I was the assistant. I mostly carried the records. But, you know, once in a while, the DJ would be in the bathroom or I would be helping the DJ. And he'd be playing, you know, whatever, Crazy in Love or something like that. And a dad in a polo shirt and shorts at the wedding
right.
would come up just like a silver fox white guy, like a handsome 60-year-old man who looks like he lives at a golf course, would come up and he'd be like, can you please play something we can shag to?
Mm. Mm.
Can you please play some beach music? Can you please play some beach music? I'm like, what, the Ventures? Like, what the fuck is that? They're like, no, General Johnson from the chairman of the board performing Let's Shag Again, 1988. That's the other thing. Like, it's all these, like, classic soul guys recording these songs on, like, Casio keyboards in 1988 because they don't have the budget. You know what I mean? These guys are touring solo. That's all I got about beach music. It's just a weird thing.
Sounds like a good lifestyle.
Yeah, it does kind of sound. I think it is probably a lifestyle. And I do like hearing about like the kind of regional music trends and like the fact that like something weird that is kind of like out of pop culture at large still like thrives somewhere.
It's like the band from Animal House.
Yeah, you know, sure.
And you're like, what is going on here? Why are they all talking about this R&B band from 15 years earlier?
Mm-hmm.
That's what beach music is, writ large.
Yeah.
Writ medium.
I was so disheartened when the lead singer of Smash Mouth had his meltdown. Because I was so like, and it was like at an appropriately Smash Mouthy place to play. It was at like a food and wine festival in Denver or something like that. And I don't know. I feel like, you know, obviously they're a frequent punchline on this show, a frequent, you know, as memed as a band can get. But like, it seemed like, oh, these guys are having fun with this. They're leaning in. And hey, like, how fucking fun must it be to get to travel the world and just go to like food and wine festivals?
Yeah.
Play and for 30 minutes.
You're bringing people together. You're bringing together Minions, Shrek. All you have to do is play All-Star, How to Train Your Dragon.
Right, yes.
They all meet in the middle at the Smash Mouth song All-Star.
How to Train Your Dragon and Shrek, not the Minions, Jesse. You don't want to anger Illumination Entertainment.
That's why they're coming. That's why they're being brought together by Smash Mouth, Jordan.
Right. Oh, okay. Only Smash Mouth.
Cinderella. The Cinderella from Cinderella 2, not the original Cinderella, the straight to VHS Cinderella 2, that's the Cinderella that comes. Original Cinderella's dead. She's long dead.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah. The Cinderella from Cinderella 2. So, I mean, she's getting up there, but she still parties.
Yeah.
I mean, if Smash Mouth is coming, she's going to be there. She brings the blow, too.
Wow. Yeah. Anyway, I was bummed when it happened. I hope that, you know, the Smash Mouth dude.
Kiss was the song.
Finds the help he needs.
Kiss was the song that brought everybody together at the weddings 20 years ago now.
Oh, yeah,
15 years ago. And, you know, Crazy in Love is still that song. Single Ladies is still that. I feel like what happened is we have now gotten to the point where the people who are pumped about Motown hits are too old to cut a rug. Mm-hmm. They're now 75 instead of 60. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's no replacing that. You can't replace that with We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just someone saying this and that.
Yeah, it's longest. Hard to remember.
The first verse is this and that. The second verse is hup a dup a dup a dup a dup a dup.
I did go to, and I don't know if like the people whose wedding it was actually remember this, but I did go to one wedding at the exact right moment where the fucking dance floor filler was Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
It was like right at the right time, and like Gangnam Style comes on, everybody loses their shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with... There's a reason that song broke international borders.
Yeah.
Is because it's fun. Fun song. Guy's got his own little outfit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Distinctive outfit.
Yeah, people need to do the galloping kind of dance. You know,
yeah.
So you're not really a dancer. You're like, I can kind of do that. Or at least with the wrists. Yeah.
You could... Absolutely. You could do the wrists.
Did you do the dance, Jordan?
Oh, no. I bet I did the dance.
Good for you. I'm proud of you, buddy.
I don't remember. You know, I'm going to say, for the purpose of this conversation, and I was fucking great.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know how to Macarena. There's a new Macarena song that's a hit song where you still do the Macarena. It's like a three-year-old song.
Really?
Yeah. It's the Macarena, but it's in Spanish, and it's a new song, and they play it around my neighborhood when I'm driving past or walking past. And it's a big hit song. And what they do is just the Macarena. You just do the Macarena again. It's just a new Macarena for the new generation. But it's the same old Macarena, but a little different.
Wow. Yeah.
It's
no
great.
No original ideas.
No. Uh-uh. No. It's all fucking reboots,
the
right?
Same dances. Yeah.
At the end of the day, to me, it just all comes down to, you know, a field hand with an acoustic guitar in the Mississippi Delta, 1924, singing the Macarena.
Right. You know? Robert Johnson's the Macarena.
That guy had to sell his soul to the devil, but it was worth it. Because he got See, it's the same song. Yeah,
wait a minute, Billy Joel wrote the Macarena?
No, man. He just he received it.
Right.
Okay.
From the devil.
It's that kind of song. Yeah.
None of us write the Macarena. We just hold the Macarena for the next generation.
Beautiful. Hey, I gotta. Do we want to take a break? I gotta go drain the Macarena.
Yeah,
I've been holding the Macarena
for too
long. I need to purge.
Yeah. Oh, Jordan, can you do me a favor while you're out there?
Yeah.
Can you put a little rubbing alcohol on your perineum? I don't want any infections down there.
Why did you say out there? Do you think I don't have a bathroom? Do you think I just piss and shit outside?
I mean, I figured you got a bucket or whatever. Or maybe even a hole. You were in the army.
Nah, man, I'm no queen of QVC. Can't afford a bucket.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
You know, every episode of Jordan Jesse Go is brought to you by you, the listeners to our wonderful program. Sorry, I said wonderful program accidentally. Can we reset our terrible program? This garbage is brought to you by the kind people who are members of Maximum Fun, who've gone to MaximumFun.org/join. It is also this week supported by the folks at Made In. Jordan, you know what I have? I'm not bragging. It's just sort of how I roll.
Mm.
Carbon steel pan from Made In. Make cookware, homeware, tableware is what they call it. Tableware, pans, knives, wine glasses, dishes, that kind of thing. And they make them at professional quality, but at prices affordable to regular Joes like you and me, Jordan.
Jesse, I got that same carbon steel pan. I love it. I use it basically every day. Made a little lemon pepper chicken before we went on the air, and it's fueling my performance today.
You sound like high performance. This is like that time Jose Canseco put jet fuel in his Porsche because it was knocking and pinging.
It's exactly like that. Here's what happens. They source the finest materials and partner up with renowned craftsmen to make premium kitchen tools available directly to you without the markup. These things really, really are great. I think they would make a great holiday gift. Or if you're just looking to refresh your own personal kitchen, they have over 28,000 five-star reviews, and their products are used by some of the world's best chefs at Michelin-starred restaurants around the world.
Yeah, that's right. The real-life Michelin man uses made-in cookware to cook his rubber sandwiches like the Michelin man eats. A nice hot rubber sandwich.
Right now, Made In is offering our listeners 50% off your first order with promo code JJGO. This is the best discount available anywhere online for Made In products. Go to madeincookware.com/JJGO and use promo code JJGO for 15% off your first order.
That's madeincookware.com/JJGO. Use the promo code JJGO. It really is beautiful stuff. He would not make those hot rubber sandwiches in a second-rate pan, Jordan.
No way.
Gorgeous. It's gorgeous stuff. Beautiful, fully forged knives.
Get yourself a Made In, eat some rubber. That's our advice.
We're also supported this week by Manscaped. Jordan, if your balls are out of control, you're going to need Manscaped.
Whoa. I couldn't hear you, Jesse, over the sound of my balls going crazy.
Manscaped is the leading men's hygiene brand. They've got some new products, including the ultra premium body wash and a 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. They do all kinds of stuff. There's ball toner, there's ball deodorant, and there's of course the absolutely legendary lawnmower. Their legendary product for trimming the hairs on your sack.
Jesse, I've had so many sack injuries. I can't even count the sack injuries I've had, but zero since I've started using Manscaped. And I do use Manscaped personally. I like to do it. It's a lot of fun, and it makes the basement look impeccable. And yeah, by basement, I mean ball zone.
The bees. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JJGO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code JJGO. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Last year went really bad with you and Santa.
That's funny because they suggested some copy where we talk about Santa, but we didn't use it. So this Santa callback thing is really jarring. Ah, Santa, what are you talking about?
I'm mad at you. Last year, your balls were too hairy. Get off my goddamn lap, Jordan.
But Santa, look what I've done this year. I've been using Manscaped, Santa.
Looks great, Jordan. Here's a train set.
Wait a minute, you're Tim Allen.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Sierra Cotto, CTT activist.
Thank you. Thank you for raising awareness.
Yeah, there we go.
Never forget.
Yes, I'm here to spread the word, everybody.
I poured a whole bottle of witch hazel onto a loofah and went to town during the break.
Good. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
To make sure that happens.
As Sierra so wisely reminded us, keep it clean down there.
Keep it clean down there, yeah.
Keep it clean down there.
My shit's fresh.
Short, sweet. It's part of the plan.
Yep.
God damn it. What if... How can it taint... What part of your taint could even get infected? How's that even possible?
It's rare, but it's deadly.
Yeah.
It's like saying you have an elbow infection. What the fuck is...
Because you're not keeping it clean down there.
Oof. What does Gwyneth Paltrow call it? Your noni or something like that?
Goop? From Goop. You're thinking
yeah,
of Goop.
She calls it your Goop.
Don't neglect the Goop.
Just so you know, Sierra, on our program, Jordan, Jesse, Go, we have lots of recurring segments. People call into them, and we have so many of them that we have them tell us what segment they're calling into. It's not because we've never thought of any good segment ideas, and so we make them think of it. Mm-hmm. It's just we just do have them let us know what segment they're calling in for, just so that awesome. We know out of all the different stuff that we have thought of. Because of the work that we put into the show. Brian, do you want to play one of those calls?
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Sunny D. Hey, guest. Is it Joe Firestone? I hope it's Joe Firestone. Anyway, here with an entry in your famous recurring segment. That's what it's called now. I am in a master's program, and today in class, my professor brought up the Nike Swoosh logo. Don't remember the exact context, but was definitely referring to the Nike Swoosh. But instead of saying Nike Swoosh, he called it the Nicey Swish. Did not correct himself, but also did not say it again at any point. So truly no clue if that's what he intended to say. But the Nicey Swish, that's what it's called now.
I mean, you got to put something down on the patent application.
Yeah.
You know, Coca-Cola has the dynamic ribbon, and Nike, of course, has the Nicey Swish.
Yeah. That does sound like a knockoff that you get at the flea market.
Yeah. You know what the problem with graduate schools is, in my opinion? It makes me feel guilty just to have been born white. You know, this Nicey Swish stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Wait, where are you going with this?
Just our schools are teaching us critical taint theory.
Yes,
and
right. Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yes, we're all proud of our Viking heritage. Yeah, and I like that we have a theme of higher learning today on the show. Mm-hmm. That's fun, isn't it?
Let's get Janet Jackson in here.
Right. Or Method Man and Red Man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Famous movie, How High.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
That's what I meant.
In the movie How High, did they have their own high school?
No, it's a college movie. It's them going to college.
Well, then why is it called How High?
Jesse, because they're...
Why isn't it called How College?
Yeah, because it's... It's a double entendre of marijuana use.
They don't use marijuana. They're professionals.
Yeah.
These guys got to write gags.
No, but they use a false. It's a CGI joints. All the joints in How High are CGI. Weta created them all.
Jordan, I would never bow to a false joint.
Right. It's a good way to anger weed god. Again, back to the seven deadly sins. Everything's coming back today.
Thou shalt
the prestige.
Not yes. Smoke a false joint.
Yes, thou shalt not smoke
one
a
of my
false
favorites.
Joint. Thou shalt pass to the left.
I feel bad that the professor was probably embarrassed, but maybe wanted to not call attention. But by not doing so, sometimes it makes it worse. You know?
I feel like these professors live in their fucking ivory towers.
Right.
Hunting elephants so they can build more floors. And these assholes, all they do is they sit around watching PB fucking S. Mm-hmm. Just watching the French cook with Julia Child.
Right.
All day long making fucking souffles. They don't know anything about what normal people know about, like the dynamic ribbon and the Nicey Swish.
Yeah. Hey, if there's any SoundCloud rappers who need a name, Nicey Swish.
Nicey Swish.
Pretty good. You could do a lot worse. Yeah.
That's great.
All you need is Nicey Swish and a few triplets, and you're set.
There you go.
You're fucking set in your SoundCloud rap career. Okay, when something momentous happens to you, 206-984-4FUN or jjgo@maximumfun.org are the ways to reach us for our segment, Momentous Occasions. Sierra, I got something to admit. In the last segment, we don't really think of those. It's just when people have something funny to tell us and they come up with a name for what it is. But this thing we thought of. I mean, this is the one thing we thought of 14 years ago and have been doing ever since, to diminishing returns. Go ahead and press play, Brian.
Hey there, Jordan, Jesse, and Brian. And guest, I'm going to say Sydney McElroy because I like her a lot.
Close.
Busy. She's a busy doctor.
I'm from Quebec City, she, her. And I'm calling in with a momentous occasion. So as of October 22nd, I have been on my hormone replacement theory at Theory. What? Hormone replacement therapy? Geez, for a full year, and it's one of the best decisions I've ever made for myself, and it feels great, and I want to share the love with all the other trans people listening, and love you. Happy Anal August.
Happy Anal August. All our best to you. They should not be teaching HRT in elementary schools.
Right. I mean, I think thank you to the caller for sharing that great moment with us.
Yeah.
Wonderful vibes. Very happy. We're very proud. Mm-hmm. I do think she's probably a little bit embarrassed that when she said theory, she kind of nicey swished this.
Nicey swished that fucking call there. Jesus
Christ.
Nicey
swished it a little bit.
Swish, swoosh.
Getting in there and nicey swished it. Yeah. We're running out of momentous things that could happen to people. What I'm going to need is, we're at the point where we're going to have to start. It's like when you're, it's like if you're a local news reporter and you start lighting buildings on fire so that you can write articles about them because not enough stuff's going on.
Does that happen? That's rad. Does that really happen?
I went to journalism school, so, by went to journalism school, I mean I went to broadcasting school for 2 weeks and then found out I'd have to take extra classes and bailed.
Oh, man. And how many buildings did you set on fire in those 2 weeks?
Six buildings, man. Well, four buildings and two outbuildings. Hmm. You know, they were like equipment sheds. Does that count?
Couple buckets.
Yeah, a couple piss buckets. They burn pretty good. You'd be surprised. It depends on diet.
Yeah. What's in the piss? How much piss?
Yeah.
Right.
Witch hazel they're using to clean.
If there's witch hazel in the mixture, yeah.
It's one of those things where it's good. If you always have witch hazel is good for everything. You know, you can use it to disinfect. You can use it for cleaning. You can use it to light piss on fire. Mm-hmm. Just dump it on in and see how it goes. This is my tip to you. I'm a bit of a naturist.
Jesse, I know what you're saying is that, like, you know, this is the longest running segment. The show has been going on, forever at this point. And so
I bought my first house. It's long gone.
Yeah. Wait. So,
no, that's what I mean. Like, just all the regular momentous things in life are taken.
Sure.
Like at the point where we're celebrating our 15th or 20th gender affirmation. Mm-hmm. It is great. We continue to support it, but what I'm saying is we're going to have to start creating momentous occasions so that you can call in. And our number one is we're going to have to start pushing anvils and pianos off of the top of buildings.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I was talking to some young people and they have this phrase that they like to use.
R-O-C-K in the USA?
Close.
Mm. Okay.
Everybody walk the dinosaur.
Oh, nice.
Banana, banana, banana.
Banana, banana, banana. These young people, they like to say, do it for the gram.
By the way, speaking of banana, 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 babies having babies these days. Too many minions pregnant out there. Speaking of young people, go ahead.
Yes, we need to give minions condoms. hand out condoms at your laboratory where they work as your assistants. I'm talking to you, Gru. It's an audience of one for this. Young people like to say do it for the gram.
Right.
I think we should, the movement should now be do it for the momentous occasion. Mm-hmm. Hashtag JJGo, hashtag 20206984 for fun. It's unwieldy, yes, but it's accurate.
What would be a good example of something to do for the hashtag 20six984 for fun? Like, if you wanted to really get on the show, but you didn't want to drop a penguin in the pants, you didn't want to, you didn't want to fake it. You really wanted to really do it.
Yeah, let's headbutt your dad. Give dad a little headbutt. See what happens.
Can we please go A to C? Like, this is just, I'm not asking about the obvious shit. I'm talking about shit that really would take some thought or creativity. Not just the same shit that would come up. If you ask anybody what's a momentous thing you could do to get on Jordan as ego, they're all going to say headbutt your dad. But I'm talking about something.
The holidays are coming up. It's a perfect time to headbutt dad.
Yeah.
Bam. Right his old nose.
So fucking tired of these old nose assholes. Yeah. Their crusty old noses.
Yeah.
And gray nose hairs.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to, you know, maybe people can use this as kind of like a motivating, you know, a motivating, you know, kind of like a motivating-ism, you know, like, should I do this? Should I not? Maybe I should for the momentous occasion, you know?
Yeah, like somebody is like, they could call and they say like, I sold all my porn and I bought a rowboat that I'm going to live in.
Yeah. So this is someone who still collects hard copy porn.
Well, they don't anymore. They sold it.
Right. But they
might be starting in.
Right. Yeah. Someone, yes, to another collector.
Yeah. They might be starting. They might be about to start a new collection. It's just there's not that much room on the rowboat.
Yeah. You're going to need to collect something small like.
Yeah. Hammock. Are they hammock?
The rowboat out of the porn. If nobody will buy these hard copies, you know, maybe.
Thank you.
Put it together. Waterproof fit.
Yeah, non-water soluble paste of some kind. Mm-hmm.
You know what would be good to collect if you lived in a rowboat? Oars.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking sardines, but I like yours too.
Yeah, so I think just like get out there, live life, you know, to the degree to which you're comfortable, and let us know about it. Do it. What was the thing I came up with? Hashtag
20698444 fun.
Do it for the momentous occasion. Jordan, Jesse, go. MaximumFun.org.
Sierra, I mean, obviously you're a go-getter. You started doing stand-up comedy as a teen. You attended an Ivy League university. You're the scion of the Epstein family.
My proudest.
Yes.
What dream have you not yet grabbed, no matter how fantastical? What do you think is still out there? What hill is still out there for Sierra to climb?
Oof. I mean, so many hills, I think. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I feel like I've never lived in a different country other than America.
What's your top choice?
Top three. Maybe Spain.
Sure.
Maybe.
That would be nice. Be fun to say S is weird.
Sure.
Yeah, they do that. That's actually the reason why, you know, and if there are other countries that do that, I mean, they're in the top three too.
And they got some interesting soups as well.
Yeah, they've got all the things. I think they've got some good foods.
Too.
Yeah.
Good cold soups. I mean, bathe in it, you know.
Fucking crazy. Talk about upside down shit.
Yeah.
Cold soup. Come on.
Sure. Have a little ham at four. Welcome to Spain.
The hamming hour.
Have a little ham.
Would you like some ham, they say? And then they reply, yes.
Yes. Oh, right. Because that's Spanish.
And they say, ham. I don't know how they say it.
Yeah, we don't really know. Okay, so Spain, number one, but we're looking for top three.
Top three?
And you can't just say Andorra just because it's next to Spain.
Right.
Oh, damn
and they have
it.
So
yeah,
many sheep there.
You know me too well. I would say probably... I want to live in. My cousin lives in Hong Kong. So maybe I'd go there.
That sounds fun. A friend of mine from high school lives in Hong Kong.
Oh.
He's always posting about parties he's DJing.
Mm. Oh.
Looks really cool. Yeah. Nice. His girlfriend in high school was the prettiest girl that we knew. So.
Is that how he introduces himself?
Yeah. So he got hooked up with the DJing gig in Hong Kong, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think he could get us in?
Yeah, I think he could probably get us in. He knows a guy. He gets some passes.
Hell yeah. All right.
To get us into
Hong Kong.
To the country of Hong Kong.
Does he play
the semi-authoritarian nation of Hong Kong? The semi-authoritarian semi-nation.
Dude, my cousin's a DJ. He could totally get us visas.
He dated one of the prettiest ladies.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got number one. Shout out to Sarah from high school. Very beautiful lady. Number one, we got, of course, Spain. You got the hams, you got the S's, the soups, the whole nine yards.
Right.
Number two, not Andorra. Real number two is Hong Kong.
Hell yeah.
Which is incredible confluence of cultures, incredible density of human beings, got incredible food traditions, a food factory for the world, creating some of the world's greatest food ideas there. Everybody hanging out together, making incredible foods and types of noodle. Great. I love it so far.
Great DJs.
Yeah.
Incredible DJs.
Oh, the DJs.
Oh. Affordable, high quality tailoring. Everything you want in a semi-authoritarian semi-nation. What's number three on your list?
I mean, might be too similar in a sense, but the UK, you know. Okay.
I assumed you were going to say like Singapore or something like that.
Oh, I see. No,
but I
mean,
see. Well, you're going. You're following the colonial lineage.
Yeah, and also similar.
Plus soups, of course. UK known for its soups. It's got the classic brown soup.
Right.
Brown. Thicker brown.
It's got a thicker brown soup. It's got soup in a shell. You know, like a pie or something.
Yeah. Oh, right. Crack it open.
Yeah.
Eat the soup. Yeah. That's what I hear.
You've seen their tourism commercial, Sierra.
Yeah.
I want them, and I would love to live in Italy so I could get the real gubalaghetta.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get it in LA, but like, it's not right. It's not.
No.
It's not Jordan, real. Can I ask you gubalaghetta?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever been in Oaxaca during gubalaghetta when the streets are full of the gubalaghetta celebrations? Incredible.
Beautiful.
Incredible. You get the mezcal from the... I mean, it's just extraordinary experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what about you, Jordan? You got three countries real quick. What's your top three?
Oh, top three. So, yeah, I'm going to go... you know, I've always enjoyed Canada. I've enjoyed Canada every time I've been there. Similar to America, which I like, so it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have the, you know, the bends culturally.
Right. You're concerned about cultural hydrogen in your cultural bloodstream.
Right, yeah. I'm concerned about cultural rickets.
By the way, I just got my cultural shingles vaccine. I'm grateful for that.
That's great.
Modern technology.
Canada would be nice. I have always wanted to visit Italy. I don't know if it's a place I would like to live. I do not speak Italian, but I do want to go to the ruins where all the stray cats live.
Yeah, I've only been to northern Italy. Mm. I was in Milan. But something that I liked a lot about Milan, Italy, which is the fashion capital of the world, and it's like for being the fashion capital of the world, not the most exciting city. It's a little boring. A lot of it built by fascists who didn't have the most flair.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a dull city aesthetically, like the city, the built environment is a little dull. And it has a reputation for being a little staid among Italians because it's northern Italy, you know, and so on and so forth. But the thing about it that's great is it's right up against the Alps. You know, it's just like just south of the Alps. And so there's just people walking around in alpine garb. just are on the street.
So it's like Oktoberfest every day of the year.
It's amazing. You're just like, I asked, we were there with this producer named Gianluca. I was like, are there just people walking around in Tyrolean capes? Is this like a normal thing? He's like, yeah, we think they're kind of bougie. Like, I think they're world heroes wearing Tyrolean capes walking around.
Well, speaking of capes, I mean, I think my third country would have to be Latveria, the fictional country that Dr. Doom is the monarch of.
Sure.
A lot of capes in Latveria. Yeah.
Folks really know how to bring the flair.
Yeah. It's a rich tradition.
Cape would be nice. Yeah.
Beautiful country. Yeah.
Beautiful country.
Oh, the
actually,
ham.
Fully
oh, the ham in Latveria. Oh, the ham.
They make it. They only make it from those pigs that look like sheep. You know these from Facebook?
No, I don't think I've seen those.
Yeah, my mom posted these on Facebook. It's a pig that looks like a sheep. It's got long woolly hair, but it's on a pig. This fucking thing is great.
Can you get a photo of one of those things and it's holding a sign that says "Honk if you suck dick"?
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Well, we each have something exciting going on, Jordan. You've got the smash hit graphic novel Bubble in stores now. But Jordan, I have a concern.
Yes.
I already have a copy of Bubble.
Mm-hmm.
I received it. Look. I was very supportive of the Bubble Project from the beginning. That's just reality. Okay. So I got it. I didn't have to pay for my copy. All right. Mm-hmm. I got it for free.
No, oh, yeah. You got the hardcover too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I don't even read floppy books. So.
Yeah. What if like somebody saw you with a floppy book? It'd be so embarrassing.
There's a Jesus Christ. Like if I was on the subway or something, ugh. First of all, ugh. Me on the subway, come on.
Ugh.
What if my driver saw me with a floppy book? Oh, how about that? Jordan, there's a page at the beginning of my book. There's practically nothing written on it. That's my worry, is there's a page with almost nothing written on it. And I just wish there was something I could do about that, Jordan.
So let's say, you know, like you want my signature. That's something
I want anything, honestly, anything to fill in that page.
Here's a way you could get a copy of Bubble. With not only my signature, but whatever dumb little bullshit you want me to write.
Thank God, because the bullshit I want you to write is so fucking dumb, Jordan.
Here's the thing. I am doing, for the holidays, people have asked how to get personalized signed copies of Bubble. Here's how you do it. You go to booksoup.com, you click on signed, or you go on over to my social media, check out my pinned tweet, check out my Instagram bio. It'll link up to the site of Book Soup, a great indie bookstore. You pre-order there. They ship anywhere. They ship across the country, ship across the world. And you can get a signed copy of Bubble for the holidays, and you can tell me what dumb bullshit to write. We did this for pre-orders. I had to have just a nice bookstore employee help me with them and say, can you make out this one to Jose Canseco? So if you want to confuse a nice, helpful bookstore employee this holiday season.
David Sedaris doesn't. Nobody has writes Jose Canseco in the David Sedaris books.
They don't. No. If you want to do that, hopefully it would make a real cool holiday gift if you know somebody that likes graphic novels, science fiction, comedy,
sometimes,
all that stuff.
Sometimes people put Jose Canseco in the Michael Chabons.
Go to your local bookstore or library, take out all the Chabons, write Jose Canseco in them.
Sure.
So you can, if you're looking for a holiday gift or just, haven't gotten yourself a copy of the Bubble graphic novel yet, you can do that. Booksoup.com, click on signed. While we're talking Bubble, if you've already gotten the book and read it and liked it a lot, it'd be really cool if you'd vote for it in the Goodreads Choice Awards for 2021. That's right. Bubble was nominated for Best Graphic Novel, and you can get on over there at Goodreads and vote for us. That'd be really cool. Listen, The Adventure Zone's going to win. We know The Adventure Zone's going to win.
Yeah.
They deserve to win.
They're
Those
great.
Are great books.
great books, great podcasts, great guys.
And
we'll throw in a vote for Jordan.
Let's give them a run for their money. Let's make it close. Let's make it close. Listen, it won't be close. It won't be close.
Make it close.
Make it kind of close. Yeah. make us not embarrassed. booksoup.com if you want a signed personalized copy of Bubble, and goodreads.com if you want to vote for it in the Goodreads Choice Awards. That'd be really cool of you. Thank you.
Jordan, I got something going on.
So can I interrupt you with a problem, Jesse?
Yeah, what's that?
I haven't been able to hear my favorite character, Pee Wee Herman, host a radio show. What am I going to do?
Jordan, it just so happens that I'm close personal friends with Pee Wee Herman. He's my favorite. He's my favorite too, which is why I'm so excited that I became close personal friends with him. And I am producing the Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour on KCRW here in Los Angeles. It's the most exciting thing of my entire career, except for Jose Canseco. So I would say number two to Jose Canseco, the time I thought of Jose Canseco. Don't remember what the setup was, but don't need to. Just really proud of it. It was a list that we did for a live show, maybe. What was Jose Canseco? Anyway, the moral of the story is...
I don't know. It's a famous book signature now.
The moral of the story is this. I'm close personal friends with Pee Wee Herman. And on Friday, November 26th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, you can listen to the Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour on KCRW, produced by yours truly, along with my friend Julia Smith. It's going to be a real thrill ride. KCRW had to do some convincing to get KCRW to allow him on the airwaves. They really, truly don't know what they've signed up for. I think it's going to be a pretty crazy hour. You'll be able to listen to it at kcrw.org or on the airwaves here in the Los Angeles area. Yes, this is real. And yes, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things. Yes to both of those things. Yes, this is real. Yes, holy shit, Pee Wee fucking Herman. It's my favorite thing ever, Jordan.
Yeah.
This is like if you were the producer of the Simpsons radio show.
Oh boy, I wish. Marge on the airwaves? I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, it's hosted by Disco Stu. Marge is busy.
Oh yeah.
Fucking Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour.
Yeah,
please listen
awesome.
To it. It's look, this thing's gonna have a bunch of music in it, and you can't podcast it. I'm not going to be able to podcast it. Pee-wee's going to be playing records. You got to listen to it. Friday, November 26th, 6 p.m., kcrw.org or on the airwaves in Los Angeles. The Pee-wee Herman Radio Hour, produced by Jesse Thorne and Julia Smith. The most thrilling thing of my entire career. And I'm not going to say what special guests are going to be on the program, but I'll give you a hint, Jordan. Coochie Coochie. That's your hint, Jordan.
Oh, my gosh.
That's your hint, Jordan,
wow.
If everything goes according
Bob
to
Balaban.
Hoyle. It's Balaban, baby.
Yeah.
We booked Balaban, baby. Friday, November 26th at 6 p.m., the Pee Wee Herman Radio Hour on KCRW. Okay, we'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
La, 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 la.
You're in the theater. The lights go down. You're about to get swept up by the characters and all their little details and interpersonal dramas. You look at them and think, that person is so obviously in love with their best friend. Wait, am I in love with my best friend? That character's mom is so overbearing. Why doesn't she stand up to her? Oh, good God, do I need to stand up to my own mother? We never know when we'll see ourselves in a movie, but that search for recognition is exactly what we're going to talk about on the podcast, Feeling Seen, with me, Jordan Cruciola. Each episode, we'll bring in a guest to talk about the films that they see themselves in and also the ways that movies have fallen short. So join me every Thursday for the Feeling Seen podcast here on Maximum Fun or wherever you find your podcasts.
La, 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 la.
Look, it's a rough world out there, especially lately. I get it. So let's take care of our minds as best we can. I'm John Moe, host of Depresh Mode with John Moe. Every week, I talk with comedians, actors, writers, musicians, doctors, therapists, and everyday folks about the obstacles that our world and our brains throw in front of us. Depression, anxiety, traumatic stress, all those mental health challenges that are way more common and more treatable than you might think.
The first time I went to therapy, I was so ashamed, and I was like, I can't believe I gotta go into therapy. Like, I thought I could be a man, and Humphrey Bogart was never in therapy. And then my dad said, yeah, but he smoked a carton of cigarettes a day.
Give your mind a break, give yourself a break, and join me for Depresh Mode with John Moe. La, 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 la,
la, la, la. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And Sierra Cotto, CTTF activist.
Sierra, so great to have you on the program. Always a pleasure and an honor. Jordan, do you want to introduce the Wushu Club?
You like swords. You like flips.
It was so fucking amazing. When he played this VHS tape, it's like 30 dudes doing fucking flips. Swords and shit. It's like I'm doing slow motion teabag, whatever the fuck. He could have been teaching us the other thing the whole time.
You gotta like rent the swords though. That's like an extra expense.
Do you think?
And then lose the sword, like if you leave the sword on a bus or something.
Right. I would have taken.
Yeah, you got. Somebody in the guilt, of course.
Yeah, leaving a weapon that could.
Sure.
We've already addressed, Jordan, that I grew up about four blocks from a Kung Fu supply store.
Yes.
That still in my memory seems like it was a dream, but I learned was actually real from some other people that grew up near it. I would have just gone down to that Kung Fu supply store. It was still open at the time. Just go to the Kung Fu supply store. So give me some fucking swords and some flips and everything.
Yeah.
God, that would have been great.
Yeah. What could have been?
Fucking asshole that guy was teaching us that boring ass fucking kung fu.
I know, right?
Trying to teach us to be calm or whatever the fuck. I just want to do flips so bad.
Seems like it didn't work. Seems like you didn't take away the tenets of Tai Chi.
Yeah, that's the basic tenet of Tai Chi is be resentful that you can't do a fucking flip, right? Right.
Well, that worked.
Be mad about it 20 years later.
Well, I could kick this guy's ass right now if he couldn't kick my ass so squarely in half a second.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, I had a friend in high school who did wushu.
Right.
His name was Hua. Hua would just do a flip just as soon as, just like this. You say, Hua, you want to do a flip? He would have already be doing, he'd be in the air, flipping backwards in the air.
There's flip guys.
Yeah.
God.
Some people have it.
Some people are, some people are flip guys.
Some people are,
Give this guy a halberd. Fucking ribbons. You're fucking ribbons fucking with Hua.
I guess
a real winning attitude, too.
I don't know if Wushu is, like, lumped in with self-defense, but, I mean, kind of tough to be, like, you know, somebody's hassling you on the street. You'd be like, wait, I have to go get two swords.
I can't do it without my swords.
He's like, oh man.
Oh, I will wait. I will wait and fuck with you when you come back with two swords.
I got one sword and a banana. Sierra, we got real off track there from plugging the television show, the highly anticipated television show of which you are one of the stars. We gotta say The Sex Lives of College Girls coming to streaming television imminently. Where can people watch it?
Yes, it will be on HBO Max, and I think November 18th is the premiere date. Get excited.
Love it. Love HBO Max. Love to watch Hooper on there. So my recommendation is first watch Hooper, the sort of slice of life Burt Reynolds comedy about stuntmen. It reflects the fact that both he and Hal Needham had a background in stunt work. and then go ahead and watch. I mean, this is the classic path, obviously. Like, as soon as you're done watching Hooper, they're going to say, do you want to watch
The algorithm will recommend it to you.
Yeah. The Sex Lives of College Girls.
It just rolls right into it.
Yeah.
Sierra, you're...
Right, it'll give you 5 seconds to watch the credits, and then it'll just start playing.
Skip credits, let's go.
Yeah. You have you also have a podcast, which you insist is a going concern. That's always a red flag. I'm going to be honest with you. If when I say, would you like us to plug your podcast, you say, well, that still exists.
It does. Did I sell it correctly?
Part of an iPod and a way of approaching the world. Have you successfully used the lessons that you've learned on Stay Positive to maintain a positive attitude while the world burns down around you?
You know, I think I haven't. Mm-hmm. I think I talk with people. But I am, yes, I would say it's kind of a fun, like I get to talk with people about maybe their ways that they do it. And then I go, mm-hmm. Interesting. I should take that advice. And then I forget. But overall, I think it's good for people who actually remember how to do things to hear those tips and be like, oh yeah, maybe I should take get a life coach or take a voice lesson. I talked with someone about that. They said, everybody should take voice lessons.
You know, I took some voice lessons. I loved it. I recommend taking some voice lessons. Go take them with a nice lady in Eagle Rock.
Ah, got it.
That's my tip for everybody out there.
I don't need them.
Ooh.
I would just be wasting money.
She said, I went in there the first. It was an amazing experience. Is it just at her house in Eagle Rock, piano set up there. She's got opera training. She's got popular music training. Whatever you need, jazz. She can teach you jazz. She said, just bring in a piece. I went in there and I said, hup, yep, hup, 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 right. Hup, hup.
The Minion singing Billy Joel songs.
This and that.
And she was like, it's perfect. Give me $100 and get out of here.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's how it worked out for me. Did you learn anything from the... Did you have a life coach on or a person who had hired a life coach?
Person who had hired a life coach. I did have a dating coach on, and that was cool.
What did you learn from the dating coach?
You know, she was specifically, things that you hear a lot, but it was kind of nice hearing it from her. Like, it was like, she kind of actually works more in like giving you confidence. So like she specifically tends to work with mostly guys who are seeking women, but like, overall, like it's kind of more working on confidence and working on themselves so that they can meet someone. And she's not a matchmaker per se, but she's like working on you as a person so that you can feel confident enough or honest enough, I guess, too, to like find somebody who is a good match or who, being open a little bit more too, to like meeting somebody who maybe they come in with a bunch of criteria. They're like, I like this kind of person. And then they kind of like, she maybe might walk them through like, hey, that's actually maybe not the most realistic thing. What about this sort of thing? And like kind of working with them as an individual first.
That's not super realistic. The Minions aren't real.
Yeah. Right.
You cannot meet them.
So many guys come in, they're looking for a Minion who loves to suck dick.
A tiny... yellow cylinder looking thing. And
yeah.
We can't all, we can't all get one.
Yeah. But
finite number of Minions. Infinite number of people who want Minions.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sierra, always a joy to have you on the program.
Thank
Congratulations on the extraordinary success that you've had since the last time you were here. Congratulations and frankly, you're welcome.
Thank you. This is
a lot of casting directors listen to the show. Mindy Kaling writes in almost every week. She says, thanks. I'm casting the Sex Lives of College Girls. I've already got a part for Steve Agee. but
Rob Hubel is on the show.
It sounds like she did because two for
friend
two.
Friend of Jordan Jesse Go, Rob Hubel, is that on the show.
I will not be using either of you, the hosts.
right.
But I would like for your guests to be someone I might cast.
Yeah. had to find room for Gavin Leatherwood. I'm just looking at the IMDb right now. Yeah, I bet Gavin Leatherwood is a cool guy.
He's in it.
Francesca Zureb played Quinn on the show. That couldn't go to Jordan. Jordan, you could play Quinn in your fucking sleep.
I turned it down.
You turned down Quinn.
Yeah.
Because you were trying to make a play for a bigger part, maybe Hubel's part.
No, I just didn't want to drive all the way to Pasadena.
Jordan, no, thanks. Jordan, you live in Pasadena.
Yeah, but this was South Pasadena.
You're right, it was. It was kind of bordering San Marino.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. A little too far. San Marino.
I'm not about to go to La Cañada Flint Ridge, okay?
What do you think of work in Altadena? No, sir.
No. Yeah, whoa. No. Not a hotel.
Ah, thank God we listed some places near Pasadena.
Whew. Good specifics there.
Anyway, Sierra, of course, you can hear her on Stay Positive. You can see her on The Sex Lives of College Girls. You can catch her doing stand-up around Monrovia, California, right there by Pasadena. I'm out of places. I'm out of places. The Crow's Nest in Monrovia. Our producer, Brian Sunny D. Fernandez, on the stream this week, Valerie Moffitt. You can find us on Reddit, maximumfun.reddit.com. This is Reddit I've been looking at, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute units. It's just big things.
Yeah, I've seen Absolute Units. That's a good Reddit.
It's just a Reddit where they just show you a big thing.
Yeah, and nice. And they say it's an absolute unit.
Yeah, this one guy had big fingers.
Whoa.
Big thick fingies.
Sounds like a pretty good Reddit.
Yeah, well, there's a picture of his hand and like a regular hand. His hand was way bigger.
Ooh, it's good hand. For scale.
Yeah. Exactly, a regular hand for scale.
Paper, newspaper to show the date.
And then I had a picture of some scale he had on his perineum.
Got to get it checked. That's the lesson of today's show. Get it checked out.
That's why I'm here.
Get it checked out. That's the last thing. This is going to be rare but deadly.
Right.
Hashtag at JJGo on Twitter. Find us on Instagram at Jordan. God damn it, I forgot if it's Jordan D. Morris or Jordan David Morris.
Oh, that's okay. It's Jordan David Morris.
How long have we been plugging our Instagrams on this show every fucking week? We did 3 weeks about your Instagram. I forget every time. At put.this.on on Twitter, at Jesse Thorne, at Jordan_Morris. Look, that's enough. That's enough different things. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time on Jordan Jessica.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.